Welcome back to another episode of the Diamond Download. Chase is making fun of me because I always wait for the Zoom lady to go, recording in progress. And then I start talking. And whenever he clips it up, there's always the exact amount of time that he clips it every single time. I think I always nail it to the second, but we got Cardinal Mason here. How's it going? Chase Diamond, no A&D Diamond. How you doing, bro?
But there is an A&D Diamond, right?
I've learned that recently. That there is.
I'm doing great, bro. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm having a chill week. Yeah, things are good. I mean, it's not chill. I'm just like very like zen, you know what I mean? Like there's a lot to do, but I'm zen. So
heck yeah.
I got topics, but dude, like off camera, we were just talking about how all of a sudden you're making money with your LinkedIn business. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, it was in my mind doing fine and decent without me having to do a whole lot of work. And I think maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago on the pod, you're like, dude, just run it up, just do it. I'm like, maybe. And then as soon as I watched it back, I'm like, what am I doing? I might as well run this up and just employ more people and just help more people. So, dude, I'm up to like 65 or 70 clients now. So I've added 15 to 20 people in the past like week and a half, 2 weeks since you lit that fire under me. I'm doing a webinar tomorrow. I guess by the time this goes live, the webinar will already happen. Got a few hundred people signed up with just like one LinkedIn blast. About to hire a third employee. So I'm just at this point, like, let's just do it. I might as well. So I'm going to shift a lot of my time and attention here to just like make it happen. So I appreciate you.
Let's go, man. Chase Diamond's rich again. Finally, bro.
I wouldn't say that, but I'm having fun.
All right. Let's jump into this stuff. So the first one I got here is client acquisition for noobs. So basically just ways that beginners should try and get clients for an agency or for freelancing that isn't cold email or cold DM, because those are kind of, you know, obvious. But is there anything creative? I know you had a couple creative ways that you were landing clients back in the day.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's interesting. And funny, before I haven't told you this, but before I answer that, I've had so many DMs and emails lately from people in Copy MBA or people that are watching your stuff where you've mentioned me. They're like, hey, so your friend Cardinal Mason sent me, or they'll be like, I saw you on Cardinal Mason's course, or I saw you X, Y, and Z. I'm probably getting 5 emails or DMs a week when people are mentioning they found me through you, or hey, Chase and Mason last week talked about the podcast about needing someone for Lose the Very. Let me slide in and do that work for you. Like every time we talk about something, I'm getting the emails and the DMs. So not that those are bad, but let's talk about other things. By the way, it's kind of funny. You didn't know that, right?
I did not know that. Sorry. I told people not to hit you up, but I mean, yeah, I got a guy for you for Lose the Very. He's a savage. So cool. Actually, let me make that intro after this, but anyway.
Cool. Yeah. So I think like one of the things that we did well that I think would still work today, that maybe you were alluding to, is like early on, like other than cold email, the big way that we got clients is we just found medium to large size agencies. And we're just like, look, we are absolutely focused on this one thing, which in our case was email. We know you guys offer every single service under the sun. Let us make you look good. Let us come in and offer email as an extension of your team. So we were being white labeled by medium to large size agencies, and they were just playing like an arbitrage game. You know, I don't know exactly what they're charging, but they're probably charging a client 5 to 10 grand, and they're paying us 2 to 4 grand, right? So they could be making anywhere from 1 to 6 grand a month just by us doing the service. So I think that's like a really interesting one where like you have a lot of these agencies that start with a single service, then they get really big and they have a lot of services. And the quality of each service, I think as you get really big, kind of diminishes. So if you could go to them and just be like, let us work with you for you as an extension of your team, or just refer us business. I think that's a big one. Like those referrals or white labeled ones. I think that's the first one that comes to mind. What are your thoughts?
I like that. I've done that. I mean, kind of white labeling, but also just like affiliates and referrals.
Yep.
You were great for that.
Yep.
There are a couple other people that like just were super generous and just fed me a lot of deals, and it was awesome. And it feels good to be able to do that for other people too. Like now I'm in a position where I can just be like, yo, here, take this. So that's cool. I think one of the other ones you talked about was using Marketer Hire, right? Back in the day.
Yeah. I was one of the first marketers, if not the first marketer, definitely the first email marketer on Marketer Hire. So Marketer Hire is like a freelance platform where it connects brands and agencies with vetted marketers. So I think those are still good. there are like a lot of wait lists for some of these things, and there's just so many people that need and want it. So I think you need like a way to stand out. And how do you do that? Like, you just A, make an effort. So try to get to know the team, because if there's certain people on the inside that know and like you, they're going to try to route more deals to you, right? So I think, like we talked about last week about just being likable, I think if you're likable, people want to send deals your way, whether it's a platform like Marketer Hire, whether it's another agency or a freelancer. I think that that's a really interesting one. So Marketer Hire is cool. I think you might have talked about this on Alex, where like just forming little pods and communities of like freelancers or agencies that are just going to tackle clients together or going to kind of pitch together or refer business back together. I think kind of almost creating like your little mini tribe or your cult. I don't know if that's your words, but that's kind of how I'm describing it. Of people that do, I think you were saying like, hey, if you're a copywriter, go team up with a designer or a marketer or XYZ and go pitch together and go service together and kind of start like these quasi agencies, but everyone's independent. Is that kind of accurate? Is that how you explained it?
You have such a good memory for all my little Alex in my inbox little things. Yeah. So back in the day, I was a copywriter. I didn't know how to do email or design. And so there were a couple of clients that I took on with my little pod. It was Denard, DJ. Yeah. Who you interviewed him, pretty sure.
Yeah.
Sam, I haven't talked to him forever. I don't know where he's at. Shout out DJ. And then Francesca, who used to work for you.
Yeah.
So that was like my little squad. And we were just going, like, we had like little deals, and I was like sort of like the creative brain behind it. And then I was sort of like, again, arbitrage, just them. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. And then I actually got a couple of cool deals from Denard too. He was awesome, bro. Yeah. So damn, I forgot about that one too. Some fire right off the bat, Chase. Okay. I got one. Because people kind of talk about it, but like Facebook groups and Slack groups often get forgotten about. I remember I got two or three clients when I was in Email Geeks. So this would have been like end of 2021 when I was in Email Geeks in that Slack group. It was like 5,000 people in there, I think, when I was in there. It was big. There's a lot of people in there. And people go in there, and there's like an opportunities channel. And there was one guy that I'd heard of and knew of. And I reached out to him literally within like a minute of like the thing going off. I had a thing ready and I just fired it away. So I was super fast. And so I've gotten a couple of like cool snags from that. As long as you're super fast and personable, like people, like you can stand out. Like it's really not that hard to stand out. Like people should see what my DMs look like or your DMs look like. I'm sure there's like a couple of easy ways to just like get ahead of everybody else. And yeah.
That's like one of my rules, like for my team and for anyone like in a sales or marketing role, like you have to be quick. Like I think if you're slow, you lose deals. If you're swift and you're quick, you're going to win majority of the deals by just being responsive and on top of it. If you take forever and you're slow, they're going to assume that like your process is slow and that your work is slow. And obviously, right, like there's on the other side of being quick, like you don't want to make any errors, but I don't think clients think that. They think that you're organized and timely and on top of it if you're quick to respond. And I've done the same thing too. I didn't even think about that. Facebook groups a lot more in the past. A lot more of it now has been, I guess, Slack or kind of Discord, but it's the same exact thing where every channel or every Slack typically for business has like a channel called like Help Wanted, jobs and opportunities, right? Roles available, something like that. And people are always looking to hire folks full-time, freelance, contract, part-time agencies. And if you're quick to respond and like you're personable, dude, you have such a leg up. So that's a great one.
Nice. All right, let's move on. Next one I had for you was, when did you decide to become an entrepreneur? Or when did you sort of, was there like a moment that you look back on and you're like, that was like when it became sort of real for you, or what was it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a couple of things. Like throughout high school and college, I was like always trying to start stuff. Like I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I was just trying to start a bunch of random things. Nothing ended up really working out super great, but I had a lot of attempts and kind of shots on goal. I would say when I went to work for someone after college, I loved it. It was great. But I got really close with like the founder, and then there was a separate CEO. And I just saw like the difference in lifestyle between like the founder and then also the CEO. The founder really never came into the office. He was always traveling. He was making tons of money. The CEO was really freaking cool, but he was in there every day. He was grinding. He was hustling. At the end of the day, he reported to, you know, the founder and the chairman. So I just saw like that delineation between like the amount of money that you can make and kind of the freedom that you could have. So I did that. And then I started working for someone else, And I just started realizing like how people taught their employees and also how they treated their employees. And I just felt like there was this massive opportunity to like be the owner. And there's like that quote, I'm blanking on the exact verbiage, right? But it's like, if you don't build your own destiny and freedom, someone else is going to employ you to kind of build theirs. And I wanted to be the person that like employed the other people to build my dreams, right? Versus building someone else. So I think just working for other people and just seeing kind of understanding how much money you could make and the type of lifestyle that you could live really led me to be like, I want to be the big boss. I don't want to have to report to anyone. Of course, I started an agency and every single one of my clients was the boss. So that was a little bit different, but I think that was it for me. What was your kind of silver lining, kind of aha moment?
I think everything you said is so on point, by the way. Like, and it's not even really about like just being the big boss and kind of doing whatever you want. Like there is a big responsibility that like, you know, people that you have to take on if you're going to be the boss. Like, dude, now I got people that are working for me. They're going to buy a house in the next year or two. And I got to make sure that I don't stop making money so that they can keep making money.
Yeah.
And like, you know what I mean? And coach them and make them, you know, become someone that's, you know, bigger than they are now. So it's not something that is for everybody, but you know, it takes a lot of balls to sort of like take that risk and be like, you know what, I'm ready to do this. Cause you have what, a headcount of like, what, like 200 probably now?
Yeah, less. I don't know the exact number, probably 120, 140, 130, 150 just on that business. And then, you know, trying to build up some of these other ones that have 1, 2, 3 people. So all in across all my businesses, probably 150 between like employees, contractors, freelancers, you know, consultants.
80-90% of those are probably W-2s. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say, yeah, it depends. Like everyone in the US and in our business on the agency is W-2. And then everyone else works for us full time, more or less, but they're in like Canada or other places in the world, Philippines, India. So it's a little bit different where like they are salaried, like I have to get a monthly retainer and they work for us full time, but the actual way in which we set it up is a little bit different. But yeah, a lot are full time. I don't know about all, but a lot are.
People don't realize how scary that is, bro. Like people don't realize that it's a big responsibility. Like When I got my first employee, which is Abby, like real employee, because everyone else before that was just contractors, like freelancers. They had other stuff going on. So if like my stuff slowed down, it was like, all right, whatever. But like, you feel it, like, bro, like the pressure's on. You got to make sure they got benefits. You got to pay their taxes, bro. Crazy. Anyway.
Yes. Yeah,
I had a bunch of different moments for me. One of them was I realized like, if I was going to make money doing anything, like even like low six figures, like between 1 to 130 a year, there was no one who was going to give me that opportunity unless I jumped through a bunch of hoops first. And I just didn't want to do that. It was like part ego, part like I was just straight up unqualified. Like I don't have a degree. I wasn't really interested in finishing that. And then I don't know. I just thought like if there was anyone who was going to like make me wealthy, it was going to be me. So I had to go and do something about it. So
love that.
Yeah, I think like that was when I kind of realized I was like, all right, it's time to do this, bro. Like stop, you know, stop being a wuss. Also I think too, like I thought about what my life would look like if I just never took any risk and just like not even played the safe route, just like did everything wrong. Like what if I just like was super lazy and just did nothing? Like there's a lot of people that do that. And they wake up and they're 50 and they're living in someone's basement. It's just like not a nice way to live. I never wanted to live like that. I was really scared of that. So I kind of ran from that. That was like what sort of drove me forward. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, and sorry to cut you off. I was going to say, I don't know if it was from like the book Think and Grow Rich or someone had told me a while back, kind of related to that book, like there's two ways to make money. One is to be in sales, or two is to own the business, right? And oftentimes you're in sales if you own a business. So that's kind of the combination. So I remember like from an early age, someone telling me that. I'm not super salesy in the fact that like I couldn't go sell you a car or I couldn't sell you, you know, XYZ service. But as a business owner, starting a company, you know, you obviously are always selling and I believe in myself and I believe in my team. So it's a little bit easier of a sell. So I just remember also too, like having that ingrained in my mind, like the two ways to make money is start a business or be in sales. I didn't realize starting a business meant you were in sales, but you know, that was kind of also ingrained with me, like from an early age.
Yeah. You can say it that way, like with sales, but because I would argue that like stuff that, you know, copywriters do too is like
Yeah.
You know, the way to think about it is like the closer you are to the money, the more you're going to make. Right. Yeah. So these guys are super close to the money because they're dry, like they're literally accepting payment like on the phone or in person or something like that. Copywriters are feeding the people the leads who are going to end up closing over the phone. So like you have a higher position of leverage. Like it's, you know, if you're not there, like what does the business look like kind of thing? So like that's kind of like the fundamental rule. Get close to the money is what I can't remember who said that, but I heard that years ago.
Yeah. And I think again, there might've been an Alex on this too, but like when I think about salespeople, I think about like in person, on the phone, more verbal communication, where I think there was an Alex that you had wrote, or there was something that at least we talked about where like copywriters are salespeople via written word, right? Like they are influencing these decisions. So they're almost like the ones that are priming, or they're the ones that are actually selling and closing too. So yeah, this was a good one. We have one more topic. Is that right?
Yeah. So I had this down as the most interesting person you've ever met. And then you can kind of take this any way you want. I know it's kind of a hard question. I'm having trouble thinking of one right now.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know if that's like the most interesting person I met, but the most recent person I met that was really interesting. I went to a friend's 30th birthday 2 weekends ago, and it was at like one of their family friends' house. It was on a Balboa Island in Newport Beach, a really cool spot. It was on a corner lot, had literally like pretty much 360 degree views, I guess maybe 270, like from the garage and the back part of the house, you couldn't see it, but majority of it was ocean view or bay view, I guess you'd call it. And the guy that lived there that owned it was a single dude. He was in his 80s. He reminded me of like the grandpa from Up, and just like hearing certain revenue streams he had. So in Newport Beach, I guess there's 1,100 docks. He owns 6 docks. He has one in his house. He's got a bunch of others, and he rents out docks to people that want to park their boat. Dude, he makes $100,000 a year just renting out 6 docks. And on top of it, he owned, it wasn't clear to me, but he owned 750 properties. I don't know if that was 750 units, 750 doors, but he had 750 something in real estate. And he was one of like the bigger real estate guys in, you know, Orange County, Newport Beach. They had articles written about this house that he built. It was like this Mediterranean Spanish type house. And just kind of hearing about like the ways in which he made money and how he just kept accumulating real estate and he just kept buying and never ever sold. I wouldn't say he was the most interesting, but just seeing like what he's built and whatnot. And I don't think he ever was married, never had kids. Everything that when he passes is going to all go to like the church, I think he was saying. So it was just kind of interesting just to see like how people decide to choose it. There's no right or wrong, but for me, like I would only want to be that successful if I had people to like share it with that I loved and cared about. And I probably wouldn't want to be so successful to the point that like I didn't have those things. So I don't know. I was just kind of going through like, there's no right or wrong way, but that's a really cool way, but my way is a little bit different. What about you? Who have you met?
Don't you kind of get excited about being old? Like, don't you kind of like, I'm kind of excited to be an old man. I'm not going to lie. Like that, like the idea, dude, it doesn't matter who, like 90% of old dudes are pretty cool, man. Like, I don't know. Like, I think you get to a certain point where you just like, don't give a shit anymore. And like, I don't know, that guy, like he's probably at a level of wealth where it's just like literally doesn't matter what happens. Cause like, I don't know, he's probably got like 10 years left. He's probably chilling and like, super healthy, which maybe, you know, knock on wood, hopefully lives longer. But I mean, yeah, I think like guys like that, where it's like they're on the back nine and they're like, you know, whatever, bro, like whatever happens, happens. Like that's my favorite sort of like thing about old dudes. And it makes me kind of excited to be there one day.
Yeah, one other story he actually told me that there's a lot of really interesting stuff, like some I can disclose, some I can't. But one thing that he told me that was like, it's just like, it was so ridiculous that I'm like, dude, really? So in Newport Beach, the city charges, or at least I think they still do. They charge $25 a year as like your dock tax. So very cheap, right? Like pennies. And a couple years back, I don't know, 5-10 years back, however long it was, they wanted to raise the tax to $75 or $100 or something. So $25 it was, they wanted to charge you $100 annually. So this guy that lived there, plus the girl's dad, they're both kind of in Newport Beach politics. They started a campaign and they raised hundreds of thousands of dollars to basically be like, Newport Beach, F you, you're not going to raise our tax by $50 or $75 a year. So all these rich people end up donating $10,000, $20,000, $40,000, $50,000 to tell the city to F you instead of just paying an extra $50 a year for the rest of their life. So like they end up paying probably 10, 20, 50 times more just to tell the city like F you than to just like keep quiet and pay it. So it was just like this really interesting thing where like they're talking about like just when you have money and like when the city or the county or the state tries to mess with you, like they really kind of like unionize and form, and they kind of have this mentality of like, if we give in on this thing, you know, it's more the principle. It was less about the $50 or the $75 per year that they're going to pay, and more just the principle of like, hey, if you do these types of things, you're going to get the mob. Like we're going to push back. So he was just kind of telling me like any time the city has messed with them, all the rich people just donate way more time and money than it would have cost them otherwise, just to be like, no, 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 this is not going to happen. And I thought that was kind of wild.
Wow. That is cool. I like that. I like those stories.
Yeah. What's your answer? Who's really interesting, or what does that look like for you?
I don't know, man. I got nothing, bro. That's a good one. I think that'll carry both of us. I mean, that's it. That's all we got, bro. I was thinking I was going to come up with something like before, but I just never did. So that was awesome. You killed it. I appreciate that. Thanks for holding it down. Mind if we wrap up?
Let's do it.
Well, cool, man. Well, everyone, thanks for listening and watching to the Diamond Download. I'm Cardinal Mason. You can find me on Twitter or TikTok at Cardinal Mason. Oh, I have a YouTube video now. I have a YouTube channel. So if you want to watch my first YouTube video,
heck yeah.
On the Chase's comment in my comment section. go find him and then comment saying, what's up, Chase? This is Chase Diamond at Ecom Chase Diamond, no A in Diamond. Check him out. He's pretty smart, knows a couple things.
Appreciate you, brother. Cheers.